How many are glad for the presence of Jesus? Amen. 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 I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm this morning. I want to speak this morning on the subject of navigating through life's journey. Navigating through life's journey. God is going to be with us and help us as we navigate through the journey that we've started. And I want to begin in the 23rd Psalm. We know it well, but listen, and this is not a funeral today. How many know the 23rd Psalm wasn't just written for funerals? It's a wonderful passage for a funeral, it is, but sometimes we can read it without a funeral in mind, amen? Yeah, we're not planning one today unless someone dies while I'm preaching. And if you do, you'll just have to wait there for a while till I'm finished. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. We don't have time this morning, but the companion to the 23rd Psalm is the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus said, I am the what? The good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So there's some parallels between the two, but we're limited in time in first service, so we won't read the John 10, but refer to it later. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is my leader. He is my navigator, if you will. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He gets me to the place where he knows that it's safe to lay down. It's safe to rest. It's safe to be there. He navigates us to that place. He leads me. It's a navigation term. He leads me beside the still waters. He brings me to where the sheep are most effective in drinking the water. It's still waters, not bubbling and running. He restores my soul. Puts back in what this journey takes out sometimes. He leads me, another idea of navigating, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He navigates me into those right decisions, into those right things. How many know every day we have decisions we have to make? How many know that? Amen? And maybe on your job that you do, you have to make them just quickly, on the moment, just quickly. How many know that Jesus wants to help navigate us through those questions and those decisions into the place of making righteous decisions? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice we walk through. We don't stay. We walk through shadows of death all around. The navigator helps us walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Without the navigator, without Jesus helping navigate us through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll perish there. But we are going to walk through. How many know we're walking through? Amen? We're walking through those dangerous situations and scenarios that could do us under because we have the navigation system the Lord has given us. I will fear no evil, no need to fear any evil thing that might try to come and destroy me if I keep my navigation instruments intact. For you are with me, makes the difference. That's all the difference in the world, is you are with me. The presence of the Lord, amen? Your presence makes all the difference in the world. I was sitting at home the other day and I was by myself. And that doesn't happen a lot. But I was sitting at home the other day and I was by myself. And I got to thinking, boy, this is boring. And I decided to watch some news. And that was boring. And I decided to watch a sports program. And that was boring. And I thought, when's Cheryl getting home? When's Dolly getting home? And then I thought, what if Dolly weren't coming home? Some of you have gone through that. And I want to tell you, an overwhelming sense of loss and sadness came over me. And some tear came into my eye. And I said, oh, Jesus. And I prayed for some of you who've lost your spouses. I prayed for you. And I know you're here today. And I don't want to make your loss any more painful. But I want to tell you, I felt something then. And I said, Lord, bring her home. And so I called her. And I didn't want her to know. Or maybe I sent her a text. Dolly, where are you? And she didn't answer. Where is she? Is she okay? Did she get in the wreck? Did she get kidnapped, taken to Lithuania? Lord, where is she? But finally she called, and then she came in. She walked in the door, and her presence made everything was different when her presence was there. Amen? Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Dolly, for your presence. Thank you for being there. Amen. That's what Jesus does. He comes and his presence makes all the difference in the world. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. His rod and staff are also instruments of navigation, helping me through the right path, doing the right thing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. When I try to go the wrong way, I bump my head. Anybody here ever go the wrong way? Anybody here ever make a bad decision? Anybody here listening to me today? How many have got some bruises because you went the wrong way? The navigation said go straight and you made a right-hand turn and you had to come back and get some oil on your head. Amen? To cover the bruises. You bet. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mercy, goodness and mercy are God's navigation helps to us, to help us all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because that's where we're headed. That's our goal, is the house of the Lord forever. That's where we're headed. We're headed for heaven. That's where we want to be. And so we have this life journey. So navigating life's faith journey, let me read to you just a few things. Mankind has always been in need of the ability to navigate through life. From the earliest time in the Garden of Eden to our present day, we have needed guidance to help us through life's journey. In Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve the directions they would need to live out their lives in paradise. And even though they disobeyed God's directions, he was merciful and gave them another chance, and they would learn to navigate life by listening to and obeying God's voice and directions. And that's kind of the preamble to what it is to be navigated by God through this life journey. And so today we need God's directions. We need help to navigate through this life we're living. And it all starts with our decision to follow Christ. Because if we are not following Jesus Christ, we are lost. How many know we are lost without God? And we are struggling about and wandering in darkness, to the point Eddie made in this last 3 weeks, which was an incredible series Eddie preached. And I so appreciated what he did. And give him a hand. Amen. It's a great series. But we are lost without Christ, and it's dark, and we don't know where to go. We have no navigation instruments when we are without God. And so we give our lives to him, and then we ask for his help in navigating life's faith journey. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Again, you'll know them well. This is what God has given us. He's given us this tool, if you will. And really, these two verses beg three very important questions when we talk about navigating our life through this journey. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. And lean not unto your own what? Understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. How many of your ways? All your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. He'll navigate you. He will help you. There's three important questions when we talk about navigation that we need to ask. Number one, where have we been? Where have we been? Number two, where are we at? Where are we now? Anybody ever ask that, trying to find some place? Where are we at? Where are we on the map? And then number three, where are we going? If we don't know where we go, where we're going, I suppose it doesn't matter how we get there if we don't know where we're going. But how many know it's important to know where we're going? Amen? So let's go in reverse. Where are we going on this life's journey? If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, we know where we're going. Where are we going?
Heaven.
You bet we are. We're going to heaven. We're journeying toward heaven. And we're not going to go there until this journey is over, but that's where we're headed. So we know where we're going. And the question now, where are we now? Where are we at this very moment? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know where you're at. You are standing in the salvation of the Lord. Amen. You're standing in the salvation of the Lord, and you have all the tools necessary to help you navigate through this faith journey that we call our Christian life. And then the first question, where have we been? Where have we been? We know the answer to that. In the book of Ephesians, it makes it clear that we were once walking in darkness, right? We were once walking in darkness. How many know it's tough to walk in darkness? It's tough. And we're talking real darkness here. Darkness where there's no little evidence of light to Eddie's message. There's no light, so darkness is very, very hard. I remember several years ago, Cheryl and I got a new bed. Cheryl got a new bed. I just happened to have to sleep in it. But anyway, we got a new bed, and it was a poster bed. And it looked really, really cool until one night I had to get up and use the restroom. And it was dark. There was no moon. We had no night lights. And after I'd finished my business and I headed back to bed, I had forgotten that we had a new bed. And so I did my normal routine getting back to bed. And when I did, I ran smack dab into the middle of that poster bed. From that moment on, I hated that bed. It was dark and I didn't know where I was going. Everyone follow? And that's where we have been. We have been living in darkness, but when Jesus Christ, the light of the world, comes, He turns the light on, and now we can see clearly where we've been, where we are, and where we are going. Hallelujah. We are headed toward heaven. But we need to navigate our way through this faith journey with God's help and with God's direction. During World War II, our brave pilots flew many dangerous missions to combat the evil that had arisen in our world, both in the European and the South Pacific theaters. They were skilled airmen, but they depended heavily on their navigators, skilled personnel that knew how to alert the pilot to where they had been, where they were at, and where they were going. Navigator to pilot, we're approaching the drop point. Navigator to pilot, we're approaching where we're supposed to be. The pilot, keep me posted. Let me know right when we're there so I'll know when to open the bomb bay doors. Today, our great navigator knows where we have been, where we are at, and where we're going. And that great navigator, Jesus Christ, has given us tools to help us navigate through this faith journey. Let me list them for you, though we'll only probably be able to get to one. Number one, He has given us the power of the Word of God, the Bible. How many know the Bible will help navigate us through this faith journey? Amen. It is the tool. It is part of the navigation system that God has given us. Number two, He has given us the power of prayer, the important power of prayer. We'll talk more about that. The power of the Holy Spirit is number three, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Number four is the power of God's presence. We had a taste of it this morning. There's more to say about that later. Number five, the power of trust and obedience to God's will. How many believe it's important to follow God's will today? Come on. How many know it's vital important to find out what God's will is and then to walk in His will? Amen? How many here, you don't have to raise your hands, but have ever found God's will, knew God's will, and did something different? How many know that doesn't turn out real well, right? Following the will of God. Number six, He's given us the power of godly counsel. The power of godly counsel. God says, I'll give you godly men and women in your lives that'll help give you godly counsel. As a matter of fact, that's the overriding theme of the book of Proverbs, is the fact that God expects us to use godly counsel. And then number seven, the power of faith in a faithful God. God will be faithful to us. The word navigate, what does it mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, there's a number of different definitions, but one is to find the way to get to a place when you are traveling. That's what it means to navigate, is to find a way to get to a place where you are traveling. Navigate comes from the Latin. And I can't pronounce these Latin words. I don't know Latin, but part of the Latin word is to drive, and the other part is a ship. So in Latin, the idea of navigate is to drive the ship, to pilot the ship, to get the ship through certain waters. Now, and so we understand that navigation is this ability to find out where we've been, where we're at, and where we are going, and the tools necessary to accomplish that. Now, since the 1940s, the word navigate has been used pretty consistently down through the years. People use the word, you know, fairly, not frequently, but people understood what it was. But then, something phenomenal took place. In the year about 2010, the usage of the word navigate spiked really, really high, according to those who keep track of these things. It spiked really high. And it didn't give me a reason why, but I think I know the reason why. That's about the time that people began to navigate the internet. They began to navigate, and all of a sudden the word navigate began to come in use for young people, older people, and we started navigating through the World Wide Web. Anybody here heard of that? Seven of you. How many heard of that? Come on. Now I'm going to ask you this question. How many enjoy navigating through the web? You know, you're like little children in school that are afraid if you raise your hand, you're going to have to come up and write on the chalkboard. That's when the word took a spike. Because now when you ask a young person, especially about navigation, they'll probably say, oh yeah, I know about that. That's where you navigate. You go to a site and you navigate through that site. That's where they understand the word. And it applies. Knowing where to go on that website. So it's taken a spike in its use. But this idea of navigation, how are we going to get to where we are going? And there are seven things here, and I only have time to cover one, but perhaps it's maybe, I don't know that I'd say it's the most important, but it is a key element in navigating through this life journey. And that is the first one I gave you, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. This is an incredible tool in navigating our lives through this faith journey. Amen? This Bible of ours. All right? Do you have a Bible with you today? Do you have a Bible with you today? If you have a Bible with you, would you hold it up? Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, you know, don't be embarrassed. It's okay. Raise them up again. Bible salute. Here we go. Look around, look around, look at all those Bibles, look at all those Bibles, look at all those people who don't have one. No, no. The Bible. Now, did I see any phones? Did anybody, you know, lift your phone? How many have phone Bibles? Let me see those. Isn't that great? I was at a funeral yesterday, and the pastor said, turn to this passage. And nobody brought their Bible to the funeral. I brought out my phone, and as I'm looking up my Bible on my phone, I thought, the guy beside me is going to think I'm surfing the web. He's going to think I'm looking up sites, navigating through the World Wide Web. And so I tried to hold it so he could see that I'm on my Bible, right? Now, it doesn't matter if you've got one of these in your hand, leather bound, if you've got your phone, your iPad, whatever. How many know it's important that we as Christians have a Bible? Amen. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Matter of fact, these red Bibles, New Living Translation in the back pockets. If you don't have a Bible, take one with you. They're free. Just take them. Compliments of our men's group. Or give it to someone who doesn't have a Bible but wants one. Why is the Bible important? It's because it helps us navigate through this journey. The Bible is the compass of the Christian's vessel. It shows us where we have been. Book of Ephesians. It shows us where we are at, the book of John. And it shows us where we are going, the book of Revelation. It navigates us through. It points us to true north. It's what the Bible does. Whenever there is confusion as to the direction that we should be going, the Bible has the answer. And we must trust the Word and rely on the Word regardless of what our culture says. Can I stop there a minute and just emphasize this? That our culture will say one thing, but God's Word will say something totally different. And as Christian believers, we must believe and obey the Bible and not our culture. Come on. It's important as we navigate. You say, well, our culture might have a better way of looking at things. No. This book will never fail you. And it has an answer for every question, every dilemma that we have. It may not directly say the word you're looking for, but it will have the principle by which to face that. So in a culture that is shifting the prices, that is changing the price tags, Josh McDowell said, in a culture that's changing everything, in a culture today that is so similar to what it was in the days of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, where good is being called bad and bad is being called good, we need a compass that'll point us true north, and that is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible that we can read and trust. And I know some say, well, it's out of date, it's archaic, and it's not relevant for today. Those are all excuses, my friend. This book is as fresh as the morning paper. Come on. This book is as fresh as the latest post on that website or whatever you want to say it. And we have to rely on the Word of God. We can trust and rely on it regardless of what our culture says. The Bible must be our final word in faith and practice. The worst thing we could do on this journey in faith is to compromise the Word of God. And that's the other dilemma that I really see as a pastor pastoring today, is the attempts to compromise the Bible, to compromise the Word of God. To say, well, I know it says this, however, this situation dictates something different. It's not new what's being done today. We had it back when I was just a young man. It's called situational ethics. And it was wrong then and it's wrong now. This book needs to be followed. Hallelujah. This book needs to be followed. And you say, well, Pastor, you're pretty arrogant, aren't you? Well, call me that if you want to. But I believe that it's important that we stand on the Word of God. Amen. Well, what about the other writings? What about the other things of other religions? Aren't they just as valid? They may be for those followers, but they're not for me. As a matter of fact, there will come a day when all those other things will vanish and pass away. But Jesus said, my word will never pass away. Hallelujah. We can rely on the Bible. And it is a navigation tool to help us in our journey. Now, it will have its enemies. And they're very vocal. And they're very loud. But the Word of God, according to Hebrews 4:12, is sharp and powerful and pierces asunder where soul and spirit meet. Think of that for a moment. The Word of God is sharp, it is quick, sharp, it is powerful. And it comes to where soul and spirit meet. Can we even find that place? Can we look deep inside of us and actually find where soul and spirit meet? That's a pretty minute place within us, if we can even locate it at all. Do you follow me, what I'm saying? You know, could you point right now somewhere and say, okay, where does soul start and spirit, where does soul and spirit meet? I don't think we're able to find that. And yet the Bible says the Word of God pierces right to that place. Right to that place. That place where human understanding stops and a heavenly understanding begins. The Bible addresses that. I was told at a very young age, make your Bible your best friend. Make your Bible your best friend. Read your Bible every day if you can. And let God use it to give you direction on this faith journey. Now, I've tried to follow that advice through life, but it's not always been easy, and I've not always been successful. But this Bible is a light in a dark world. It is the foundation that is standing firm in a world of crumbling standards. And that's where we live today, folks. We live in a world of crumbling standards all around us. Standards are crumbling. But there's one thing that stands firm. 2 Timothy tells us that. The word of the Lord is the foundation that stands sure. Hallelujah. Young people that are in the building, let me encourage you to read your Bible. You won't understand everything. I'm telling you that most adults don't understand everything. I'm telling you that pastors don't understand everything. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean we shouldn't read it, right? That we shouldn't digest it, that we shouldn't use it as a compass. So God, where do I go from here? Where do I go from here on this life journey? What direction should I take? What choice should I make? When the world is telling me one thing, the culture is telling me one thing, Lord Jesus, where do I turn? We turn to this right here. We turn to the Bible. And the Bible will not let us down. Amen? The Bible will not let us down. Well, I have so much to say and so little time to say it, but let's stand together this morning. Let's stop there. Navigating through this faith journey. How are we going to do that? We're going to rely on the Lord. We're going to get our Bibles. We're going to say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? And show me, Lord, what does the Word say? And I don't want to jump ahead too far, but if you're not sure what the Bible says about it, seek some of those godly counsel, those Christian friends, a pastor or a teacher, someone you trust that knows the Word, and say, what do you think the Bible would say about this decision I have to make? And get some good counsel. Amen? Get some good counsel to help us navigate through this journey. Because at the end of the day, we want to arrive at our destination safely. Amen? We want to arrive at our destination safely. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence in the service. And Lord, we will always defer to your presence. If it's a decision between ministering to people's needs and me talking, we'll defer to the needs of the people every time, because Lord, that's what you want. But Lord, thank you for this book that we call the Bible. There are other things we could talk about. But in navigating through this life, through this faith journey, the Bible has got to be one of the most important. So help us, Lord, to make it our best friend. Help us to read it as often as we can. When we don't understand it, let us pray for the Holy Spirit to help give us insight and wisdom. But in a world where standards are crumbling and foundations are crumbling, culture is saying one thing. I want to know, what does God say? And then I want to live by that. And I pray that everyone here that hears my voice would feel the same way. So Lord, go with us. Thank you for this time together. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming to church today. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday. Thanks for coming. Fellowship with one another on your way out. God bless.